The formula for fellowship. Christian unity is a God-given gift. We cannot produce it, but we can lose it. We are responsible for protecting and preserving the unity that God has given us. We are to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we find that in verse 3, it tells us, to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is nothing sweeter than being among believers where this unity exists. Psalm 133:1 says, yet there is nothing worse than being around believers where suspicion, accusation, and factionalism prevail. You see, unity is not about uniformity, agreeing about everything or being alike. Oh no, that's not it. God does not have a cookie cutter. God's goal is not about stamping us out just alike. Our differences are gifts to the body of Christ. Have you ever in your life been to the symphony? Think about it. If you've ever been, I remember going many years ago, and members of the symphony, when they're warming up, you can hear the most awful sounds in the world. They feel there. When they're getting ready, they're just playing scales and different things, and it's just the most annoying thing you've ever heard. But all of a sudden, when that conductor raises his baton, the musical confusion goes away. We must learn to believe that those believers who disagree with us, who are a part of another group, are also part of God's symphony. How can we maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace? First, we can learn to love one another. Love is not about how we feel toward people. It is about a decision of the will regarding how we will treat each other. How we're going to treat each other. The Scripture is clear that we are to treat each other in a loving way. John's Gospel tells us that in the 3rd, 1 John tells us that in the 4th chapter, that we are to love our neighbors. We are to love one another. The greatest gift is love. The alienation and anger between the various sects of Christianity should be an embarrassment to every Christian in this world. Jesus prayed for the unity of His church in John chapter 17. For the most part, our theological disagreements are but a smokescreen. They're just out there on the side. The real problems between us are our ego, our power, and our control. And amongst it all, the failure to love. So many people think that they are better than everybody else. There are some that think that they have to have all the power. They don't let God have any power at all. Well, see, they've already lost the battle. Or they want to control every situation. And they fail to find love. And they fail to show love. They fail to give love. You see, notice the words in Ephesians 4:2. Humility and gentleness with patience bearing one another in love. Could these words be used to describe your attitude toward believers of a different faction or believers right here in this very place? Second, we need to maintain Christian unity by agreeing in the central truths of the faith and choosing not to be dogmatic about the peripheral things that are out there on the side. What are the central beliefs about which we are to agree? Paul suggests that there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We've talked about it when the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what we are about. We don't have all these other things. There's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Virtually every denominational group believes in the central truths of the faith as taught in the Apostles' Creed that we said this morning. Most of our disagreements in the church are about style, methods, polity, untruths, and doctrines that are on the side. Third, we can maintain the unity of the Spirit by setting one another free to use our gifts in ministry. Each Christian, each and every one of you, if you have been called by the Lord to come and to be and to serve, if you have been called as a Christian, each one of you is a minister. And I said Christian, not member. Just because you happen to have your written on a roll book here in a church or in some other church does not necessarily make you a Christian. The basis of our ministry is not ordination, but it is baptism. And many, many times in our life, that is baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you and dwelt upon you, when you've been baptized. And as I talked to someone this week, he was talking about being baptized by fire. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you feel that Spirit that it dwells with you, it just makes you warm all over. It's the burning of the Holy Spirit. That's when you're a true Christian. That is when you are like, wow. That is when you say, gosh, and it happened to you. I know it's happened to so many of you. I can see it in your face. I can hear it in your voice. I can see it in the things that you do for other people. I can, in the way you carry yourselves in Christianity, you've been there. And from time to time, we just need to be reaffirmed, to be rededicated, to say, okay, Lord, this is what I want to do today from here on. You see, you have gifts of ministry that are unique and God-given. They are not mere talents or abilities. They are supernatural spiritual gifts because the gifts that we get from our Lord and Savior are supernatural. They are spiritual gifts of grace, and that is how we get them. They come through in His grace. We are to use these gifts to build up the body of Christ. It tells us that in verse 12, to build up the body of Christ for the edifying of the body. We do not need more people to serve on committees. We need people who are called to serve and build up the people sitting in the sanctuary this morning. The job of the pastor teacher is to help people discover, to help people to develop, and to help people deploy their spiritual gifts. That is what we are about. That is what God calls us to be. We are called to be in fellowship with one another by His grace, through His grace, and with His grace. That is the only way we can do it. We can't do it on our own. We can't have our own agenda. We can't think that we are better than the other person. We can't think that our religion is better than the one down the street. We can't think that we all serve a different God. We all serve the same. So this morning, as we come to a time of making a decision, I ask that you turn in your hymnal to hymn number 352. As we sing, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Would you stand and know that our altar is always open, that you are always welcome to come and to share in this time. Would you stand?